And it's found in chapter 20 of that book. And our subject this morning is life or death. Which is it? We're either alive to God through Jesus Christ at this moment, or we're still on that road to hell. There is no in between. There's no other third method. There are two things before the whole human race since the beginning of time, and if this Bible is telling us the truth, and it is, to the end of time. If a person is not in Christ, they're lost. As long as they're alive, there's some hope that God would still call them and save them. But our Lord died for every last one of those people that God gave to Him in old eternity. And He promised His Father He would not lose a single one of them. Every last one of His sheep will be present when that day comes. Let's start at verse 1 in Revelation chapter 20. Now, before we read, may we pray just a moment. And if the Lord doesn't come and do something for us and do something for this sorry preacher, ain't nothing going to take place. You'll tell me it was a nice sermon, but it ain't if God is not in it. Lord, we are helpless. Apart from Your Spirit and Your grace to show us who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what He's done for poor, helpless, God-hating sinners. This grace of Yours in Christ is indeed all-powerful. It saves everybody it intends to save. Oh, what a glorious gospel we have. Oh, that I knew it better than I do. But Lord, I know for sure. You've taught me the difference between what I used to believe and what I believe now. That religion wasn't any good at all. All it did was fool us to thinking that we were on our way to heaven when instead we were on our way to hell. I remember the discomfort. I remember getting kicked out of several churches in a row. But I couldn't understand why You'd put me through all of that. But I do now. It is for what You've done in this place. Most anything we have to do that has any difficulty in it, we must have some experience along that line. We must expect these things. Other people are just like we used to be. But I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we've come to see what the message of this book really is. And to sum it up, it is Christ and Him crucified. We bless You and thank You in His name. And we beg for Your work in our midst this morning and wherever this message might travel. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, who's also called Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, I can't explain that 1,000 years. I don't think it is literally talking about 1,000 years, but I think it's talking about forever and ever. But what do I know? Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Well, they sure ain't fulfilled yet then, if that's what it takes. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the sons of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Lord Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived, not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such people in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Got a question I can't help but ask you. How come the Lord gives the devil free rein in our day? Because it brings to pass his purpose. If the devil were not on this planet, we might have a much better place to live, don't you think? But he's got a lot of little ones. And in our native state, we were one of them. Not his children by any means, but we were his slaves. So our Lord looses the devil for this 1,000 years to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Now, you mean to tell me that God is the author of deceiving people on every spot on this globe? It says he released him so he could go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and delivered them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night without reprieve forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now, there's two kinds of dead. You can be dead physically and still be alive spiritually. Or you can be dead spiritually and be dead again when you die physically. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. All right, you've got one part of this statement in 12 and 13, and also down through 14. You've got one statement that refers to people who before God are represented by the books that were opened. You see that in verse 12. And another book without an S was opened. This is the Lamb's Book of Life, in which the soul of every one of Christ's people that He redeemed is recorded in that book, and there ain't never been an erasure. No erasing what God has put in that book. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now, what's in those books? Here it is. Three words. Four words. According to their works. Their deeds. Aren't you glad you ain't one of them? I tell you, if we were judged on what we have done and have not done, we wouldn't have a Chinaman's chance. Thank God salvation is not by chance, it's by Christ. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Eternal, everlasting death. And yet they're not dead. They are in utter and absolute misery forever and ever. Verse 15 reads, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," that's the singular noun without the S, "whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now there are plenty of people in this earth who do not know Christ, who are generous and kind and do all kinds of good deeds. But I'll tell you, when the end comes, there's not but one thing that matters. Do I know and love Jesus Christ? Preacher, that's awfully harsh. Yeah, but it's right here in this book. And this ain't no comic book. This is God's book, and it's all about Christ, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. So let's look at this subject now. If you'll hang on to, I don't know if I'm going to come back to this passage, but I might. So if you'll go with me now to the book of John. Chapter 5, John chapter 5, John 5:27. In this, the previous section of this chapter, the Lord Jesus is said to have received a great deal of things listed in this chapter that pretty much ends in verse 27. But I'd like to pick up in verse 27. speaking of the Father, has given him, the Lord Jesus, authority to execute judgment. On judgment day, Christ is the judge. He's the judge. Hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is not the Son of God, but the Son of Man. As the Son of God, you don't have to tell us that this is His. Everything is His. But this is a special appointment by the God-man, Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and shall come forth, that is, these people on judgment day will come forth before our Lord Jesus as the judge. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. We just read the same thing in Revelation chapter, 20, I think, something like that. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, what's the difference between doing good and doing evil? What is this? What is it? What is it? If salvation were by works, people would love this statement in verse 29. But it's not by works. It's by Christ, who purchased salvation by His work, but not ours. If the truth were known, we were standing in Jerusalem the day they crucified Him and hollered with the rest of that crowd, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, give us Barabbas." We'd rather have a criminal than to have the Son of God. That's human nature. That's a man and a woman for whom, at least to that moment, God has not given them grace in Christ. Because if He has, you have a love for Christ. You rejoice in Christ. You know unless He dies for us, we must die forever in that resurrection based upon our works. And I sure hope you understand that you don't want anything to do with that. They that have done good shall come forth unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now, let me ask you to look over in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. If you're already at John chapter 5, that ought to be relatively easy. And let's pick up at verse 39. Read about, 2-4 verses out of this chapter. John 6, 39. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He has given me, talking about His people, His church, His body, His bride, His elect, His sheep, all of those referring to the same thing. That of all which He's given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. That's the resurrection of life, dear friends. Because why? Because Christ is our life. And verse 40, and this is the will of Him that sent me. This is the will of God the Father, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life. Now this sight of seeing Christ in such a fashion as this is not these physical eyes that we have. This is the spiritual sight of the soul. It is God revealing Christ to the inner person in us. Everyone which sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. What day is that? The day of judgment. Look at verse 44. The Lord Jesus is speaking, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And then our Lord says, "And I'll raise him up at the last day." Now somebody's going to get raised on the last day. Is it you and me? I sure hope so. Look at verse 44. No, I just read you 44. Let's go to verse 54. Now, there are plenty of people who claim to be Bible scholars and love what's in the Bible, but they don't understand the difference between physical and spiritual. Here's a case in point. Verse 54, the Lord Jesus is speaking about Himself. "Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." And people stumble over this eating His flesh and drinking His blood. This is spiritual language. This is not cannibalism. This is real Christianity. And He tells us in verse 55, "For my flesh is different from anybody else's flesh. It's meat indeed. It's meat for the soul. And my blood is drink indeed." Now back in chapter 5 a moment, we ran into an expression that I'd like to try to shed some light on if I could. In verse 29 of John chapter 5, those people that hear Christ's voice in 28 are said in verse 29, "And shall come forth they that have done good." Good. Now what is good? "They that have done good unto the resurrection of life." Christ is the one who has done good. And He did it in such a superb and superlative way as to earn and merit for every last one of His people a perfect righteousness and a perfect standing before God. You and I can't add one single thing. Those people in Matthew 7 who were telling Christ all that they had done in His name, and He finally dismissed them by saying, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." They were religious. They were zealous. They did a lot of things. But they didn't know Christ. The resurrection of life. And then it says, on the other hand, "And they that have done evil be raised unto the resurrection of damnation. Now remember what we read in Revelation 20 about the books and the book? Here it is, plain as day, if we can see it. Let me just read you something, and if I can remember to do so, I'll tell you where it is, and you can jot it down and read it later. But I need to speed up a little bit. In regard to this done good. You ought to associate what I'm about to read to you with Romans chapter 3, because that's where Paul got it from and he expanded on it somewhat. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Oh my. We're a member of that clan, do you know it? Any descendant of Adam simply cannot do good. Yet the Lord Jesus said, there were some who did good. Who are they and how did they get to such a place? The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And Romans 3 says, there are none. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So how are we going to be in this resurrection of life? How on earth can we? It is through the merit and blood and righteousness of our precious Redeemer. That's the only way. Only way. It doesn't matter if you've preached 50 years. It doesn't matter if you've been a believer forever. There's still no good in this flesh. All right, let's see what we can do about this evil business. Those that have done evil. To be without Christ, to be without the gospel, to be without God's grace, everything a sinner does is tainted by what he is, a sinner. Therefore, that gift, that offering, that labor, that work, whatever it is not acceptable to God. Because it doesn't come to Him through our believing and resting in the gospel of Christ. So let's try another look at this subject of life and damnation. And the third question is, how much good and how much evil do we have to do in order to fit this description? And the first one, oh, by the way, I was reading to you out of Psalm 14, excuse me. My brain just doesn't hold on to stuff like that. But let's go turn to this one. It's right next door to where we are. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. All right, let's look at verse 25 and following. And behold, a certain lawyer, we would better understand that word if we use the word scribe, a person who spent their life making copies of the scriptures and looking at various things in the Old Testament. So this man is not a lawyer in today's sense, though the vast majority of those who are in the legal profession in our day and time, I don't know if I ought to say this, but I surely believe it. For the most part, they're crooks. But this man comes to Christ with an ulterior motive. It says he came and tempted him. He's trying to trick him, to get him to embarrass himself. His problem is he doesn't know who he's talking to. If he knew that, he'd fall flat on his face. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, we have different characters in the four Gospels bringing the same question to our Lord Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler did the same thing. He came running to Christ and fell on his knees at the very beginning. And then when the Lord finished admonishing him for calling him good and yet not believing him as his God and his Savior, you can find that in Luke 18 as well as in a couple of other Gospels, I think. Probably Luke as well. But the Lord said, well, you know, what about the Ten Commandments? And the rich young ruler said, always said, "Master, I've kept these from my youth up." This book says you can't keep it, and yet he said he did. And the Lord Jesus just took one out of the ten and put his finger on that spot. This man was wealthy. He said, "Go give all your money and your wealth and your goods to the poor and come be my disciple." And the scripture says he went away sorrowful. So this lawyer is tempting the Lord Jesus, and he wants to know what he needs to do in order to inherit eternal life. Our Lord said, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" He answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And look what he says. Well, now just who is my neighbor? Like that's the least offense that he could, you know, that's the most he could be charged with in his own mind. You know, who is my neighbor? And that gave rise to that wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. And do you know who that is? That's none other than the Lord Jesus. He is the Good Samaritan for sure. So how much evil? There you go. Just take that one statement in verse 27 out of Luke chapter 10, and you've got it. That's exactly what we have to do. Love God with a perfect love, without sin, and love our fellow man better than ourselves. If the Lord Jesus is in any sense our example, and I think He is, He loved His people better than He loved Himself. And that we should aspire to. One more question. How can anyone be raised to a resurrection of life, seeing what we have seen in this little brief time that we've had together? Now, if you'd care to follow with me, I've been to this passage before, but it's in Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 9. And if you've got Hawker's Morning and Evening, he's got a devotional on that that'll just about knock your socks off. And you ought to read it several times. Go to it often. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7. Sounds like it's raining in here or something. I hear all this pitter-patter. Are you ready? All right. No. Ecclesiastes 9:7. Go your way. Eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God now accepts your works. Well, what happened for it to change? What did we do? That's the whole problem. It ain't what we do. What did Christ do? He died in our room place instead. Therefore, we have all the benefits that God has to offer belong to us. But there are several words in that one verse. Go your way. I think Mr. Hawker will tell you when you read him, go your way if Christ is your way. Eat your bread if Christ is to you and me the bread of life. Eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart if that wine is Christ and Him crucified. For now that you're in Christ, God will accept your works. But you do understand, don't you, that before you can have them, He has to give them to you.
I don't know what time it is, but I'm going to go to another verse. Ephesians chapter 2.
When you sit and you study and you try to get all these various parts of your message together, sometimes you just draw a blank. You don't think of any place. You just feel like, I won't say what I was going to say. Just awful, awful, awful. If I can ever get out of Acts, I'm going to get to Ephesians here in a minute. While I was looking at you turn, I didn't even turn. Okay, chapter 2. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 2. Brother James, when he was here a few years ago, preached on this verse. Ephesians 2:10. He called yesterday to see how I was doing and said to give you his greetings. And so I'm doing that now. Verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2. For we are His workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now that cannot be true until you're in Christ. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But listen, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Did you not know that God knows who you are before you were ever a being? He's known our names. The time that we'd be born on this globe, what continent, what island, whatever this, that, or the other, everything about us. And this thing ain't going to wind up until all of His sheep are in the fold. So I don't care what anybody says about the climate or about one nation annihilating another. I don't think these people know anything. All right.